219. 219 to talk. 219 to talk. 219 to talk. 219 to talk. Let's go. 219. Yeah, 219. Yeah, 219 to talk. 219. 219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth. 219 to talk. 219. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to 219 The Talk. Before we get into anything, y'all know it's the Christmas season. And y'all know I got a playlist for the Christmas season that I just love. So we're going to start off with a little bit of Billy Cook. And his song, let's see, Walking in the Snow, right here. Oh, 219, the top.
Hello.
The place with the smile and that sparkle in your eye, your grace, pretty face and your style, couldn't let this opportunity pass me by. For the rest of my life, for the rest of my life, baby, oh, oh. None of my boys couldn't even understand the world's greatest feeling having you in my plan.
Why don't mind?
219. 219 to talk. 219 to talk.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. What's going on, Onis?
Hey, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Just another great day. Another great day.
I know that's right.
How's
What's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Just come off a long day on the phone, so just glad that, look, I made it through.
I made it. I know that's right.
Nah. Yep, amen. Sound like a
yep,
winner to
I
me.
Made it.
That's what I'm talking
yep.
about.
So how's everybody else doing?
I'm all right. I'm getting ready for this Christmas season to get on past so we can get headed into the new year and start things off right.
The only thing
I ever hope for is that more blessings flow during the new year than did the previous year. That's all my goal is each year.
I hear you. So many people end up being
depressed and lonely and almost suicidal during this time of the year. But that's because we put too big expectations on the season, and we don't really understand what the season is about. We've all fallen into that commercialized idea of what Christmas is, and that's only to keep the economy rolling. It ain't really about us at all. We forget all about the fact that it's supposed to be a celebration of our Lord and Savior's birthday. We so worried about what we gonna get and what we gonna give somebody.
Yeah.
I always tell people, hey man, I ain't going into the new year in debt for some people that really don't care nothing about me and I really don't care that much about either. So many people try to impress people, family members with the gifts they give them. And then you end up with another compounded disappointment because they didn't get you nothing equal to what you spent all your money getting them. And then you mad.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, my thing is you don't have to give me nothing. I done got me something all year.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you and appreciate you, but I'm going to get you the same thing I got you last year, which was nothing.
And really, I think it's time that everybody should just be happy that we are still here. It's a lot of people that passed.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, why can't we use this time, celebrate God, celebrate each other, because half of us ain't got no money no way to be spending on nothing.
Exactly. And the thing is, you're absolutely right, Queenie, that, if during this COVID season and all this, economic turmoil that's been going on in the United States, there's one business that ain't suffered at all, and that's the funeral home.
Hmm.
They study, they visit, I know, because all you got to do is go out on Cullen on Saturday and realize how many funeral processions go up and down Cullen every Saturday. Headed down there or out there on Veterans Memorial on the north side of town.
Mm-hmm.
They always up and down there taking people to the grave site. So you got to understand and be thankful the fact that you simply are still here on this side of the grave.
Amen. Amen.
The thing is,
speaking of, so many people who didn't make it, look at Kentucky, Arkansas.
Oh my God.
That was basically destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, some of them scenes look like a Godzilla movie or something that they were showing on the news. Oh my Lord! And here we are now live, worried and complaining about trivial things that really, in the grand scheme of things, don't mean nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And here these are these people entire lives and and you know, livelihoods and families been tossed up in the air, thrown around like rag dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But we got nerve enough not to be thankful and grateful to God.
I think that God is basically trying to capture our attention, that to look at how these people, they're devastated. They have no place to stay, no belongings, no nothing. From Louisiana earlier this year to Kentucky to Arkansas, even the Amazon plant suffered massive destruction. So do you think those people care about, they deserve something. If you want to give something, give those people. Those people will be happy for basic needs, water, personal items, basic clothes, you know, a roof over their head. They would be satisfied with just basic necessities of life. They don't care about no Christmas tree. They don't care about no Christmas lights. They just want to be back stable as far as everyday living goes. So trust me, every day I open up my eyes, I am grateful because I have been in some very dire situations.
Exactly.
I'm thankful for where I'm at. I don't care if nobody gets me anything. Just love and respect me and give me the love and respect that I give you. And I'm happy. Now, for my birthday, celebrate my birthday. Yeah, do that. But Christmas, no. We, you know, and even at our ministry, Apostle Ryan, you know, she doesn't, she gave us, you know, the scriptures, and I got to find that, where it basically in the Bible it says, do not celebrate his birth, but celebrate his death. Because in his death, we had victory. In his birth, he was coming to save us. He suffered much from his birth to the day of the cross. And in the cross, he obtained victory for us. So, you know, the little fat white man in the red suit, I never taught my daughter that. I don't teach my grandchildren that. And I hate if anybody is caught up on Mother Goose stories and bringing their kids around me, because I don't teach that. I don't teach the white man. I don't teach the little black man in a little red suit. Because anything that your parents have worked all year for to bless you with during this time, I don't think nobody else should give credit. Hey, this is from me. I am the one who worked and put this under the tree for you. Not Santa Claus. I have never met Santa Claus. Santa Claus ain't never helped me pay a bill. So I'm not friends with Santa Claus. I'm sorry. I just don't believe in Mother Goose stories such as that.
Let me tell you something. I'm one of them people. Christmas ain't been the same since I had to become Santa Claus. You know, it was all right when I was a little bitty kid and I thought Santa Claus was bringing stuff, but when I had to become Santa Claus, I was like, hey, man, this ain't what it's supposed to be.
You know, I wasn't even taught that as a child. I was taught it in school, but at home, no. My daddy was the one that was out there hustling and bustling, and you know, they wanted it to be a surprise what they got, so they would make me go to bed and think I was asleep while they put bicycles and stuff together. But I know it didn't come from Santa Claus. It came from my daddy.
I can vividly remember my daddy in there cussing because he didn't hit his knuckles trying to put a bicycle together.
And you know what? We appreciated Christmas more than I think these kids appreciate Christmas these days.
Most definitely. Because, look, now you know why? Because they are in a state of constant entitlement. You know, they figure you owe them something.
Mm.
You know, like, look, my wife always talk about you know, because she grew up in a household where it was a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah, Christmas.
So she talks about Christmas is where everybody just got socks and drawers and underwear, you know what I'm saying?
And Bibles.
And Bibles for Christmas. You know, which I think that makes kids a little more appreciative and gives them a better sense.
Sure, it makes adults even more appreciative.
What the sense of season is about.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm 52 years old and ain't nothing like new socks and drawers. Right now, I take that right now.
My mom buys pajamas every year. I sure have. She ain't giving out new pajamas no more. No, right. I was so disappointed. Yes, ma'am. I was hoping my older sister would pick that up. She said, no, I'm just buying for the kids. I ain't buying for no grown clothes. Okay, well, I guess I go buy my own pajamas, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, Mama, she would go and specifically pick out a pair of pajamas or a nightgown or a robe, you know, for everyone. But she's older and her money is not like it used to be. So in return, you know, we do for her, you know. I tell her, don't worry about buying nobody nothing. You ain't got that kind of money, because if you buy one and don't buy for all of them, everybody's looking crazy. So,
you know, it's going to be a long face.
You know, so it's really not important. And that's what Chris, that is not, I don't even think Christ intended for Christmas to be like that. You know, I've lost friendship with people behind Christmas. Because I was unable to buy. Well, if you started in time, look, I start in time to pay bills. Me buying you a Christmas present is not going to pay no bills. So if you don't want to be my friend based upon my financial status in buying or not buying you a gift, so be it.
Oh, amen. I know that's
what
I'm
going to be. You're
only
my friend because of what I can do for you.
If you be my friend, I'm good. I'm good. Leave me out your business.
I think it's a wonderful time too to teach your children how to give back. You know, take them in. It was one parent that everything that they bought their kids, they let them unwrap it, and then they told them they had to give it away. And they grew up with a sense of it's a sense of service. It's other people that's less fortunate than us. You know. Things that we got, you know, throughout the year as well. But it's other people that just ain't in a position to ever see some of the things that they were getting. So a lot of families have a tradition in this season to go out and sow into other people's lives. You know, so it is some good things that come out this season, you know, that other people should try. You know, you got a lot of disrespectful. Oh, my God, disrespect for children. Like you said, they got a sense of entitlement. So it is a great opportunity to kind of break that. Take them downtown. Take them to the homeless shelter. Take them, you know, take them and let them see, you know, what they actually have. Because some of them really got so much that they don't know about not having. You know, they think everybody lives like that.
Right.
So they need to see something different.
Right.
You know.
My question is, if you would go and take some of the rich, rich kids they're truly happy about, you know, their parents may be taking, maybe over in Dubai, and they over here in the United States with two or three nannies. Now, they have access to anything they want. Parents left gifts, money, whatever. But if you would ask that child what would he like for Christmas, he would probably say family.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that have family, someone to love them, they are unappreciative of family because they feel like they are shortchanged on material things in the world. But I learned a long time ago that family is important
is more important than anything. Whether they get on your nerves, whether you have to, you know, grit your teeth when you're around them. But some people have no one. Some people have all the material things in the world, but they have no one. And that's so so many rich kids get caught up in drugs and addictions and, you know, this crazy stuff because they don't, you know, family is just something, you know, they don't have. You know, these parents can have one child and marry rich and mother and father, you know, touring the world every time, you know, they just money, you know, they leave money to take care of the child, but they're not there to take care of the child. So that's what we need to be grateful for as family, because it's like, you know, planning, girl, what you bringing? Oh, I'm bringing this. What you bringing? Oh, I'm bringing this. She's going to bake the cake this year? No, I ain't baking no cake. Oh, come on, sis, you got to bake me a cake. Oh, girl, you get on my nerves. I guess I gone and baked this cake, which they was going to do it anyway, you know, because I wasn't going to leave them alone. I was going to get on that last nerve because I want a cake, you know. So that's what family is, you know, and that's what's fun to me, you know, to sit around and just be around family, you know, which it doesn't hurt that I'm the youngest anyway. So, hey, you know, I kind of slide on up in there, you know, hey, little sister status, this girl wants this and this girl wants that. No, and they was going to do it anyway just because I asked if somebody liked their cooking. Hey, come on now.
I'm hoping it's so somebody find it in their heart to do a banana pudding. I'm putting it in the atmosphere. Hallelujah.
They gotta really know how to make this banana pudding.
They got to really know what they're doing. And not be playing around.
You know, it's hard to gauge because some people like cookies more than a banana. They like the cookies and the fillings more than the actual banana.
I like an even amount of both.
I was going to say, with my baby, it's got to be evenly distributed.
Yeah, it got
throughout the entire pudding.
Yes. No joke.
And believe me, she will eat it three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, she will be eating banana pudding.
Yes, I will.
That is a person who really loves banana pudding.
That is my queenie. That's what she is. She loves banana pudding.
Loves the banana pudding. Lord have mercy. Lord. So many requests. Somebody requested a pistachio cake.
A what?
Pistachio cake.
Oh, Lord.
You never had a pistachio cake?
No, I was going to say, I've never actually even had that before. I can honestly say that.
You know, pistachio is green, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So a pistachio cake is green. It is rich. And on top of the cake being rich, you put the Philadelphia cream cheese icing on top of it.
Oh, my God.
When my mother gave me that recipe, she could just, that was worth more to me than gold. Oh, boy. I thought I was going to get a couple of husbands off of it, but, you know, they just wanted the cake.
Sound like he's helping the diabetes.
Oh, that's
what it sounds like to me. It sounds like a heaping up in a diabetes.
That's funny. It is.
The sugar. The baby got the sugar.
You take an original, you take a butter recipe cake mix. You add a cup of flour. You add an extra cup of sugar. You put in 8 ounces of cream cheese. You put pistachio pudding
and you put in, what, a fourth cup of oil, and you use milk for your liquid, that pet milk.
Oh,
and
ooh,
then
Lord,
you
rich.
Put in four eggs.
Oh, yeah, that's rich.
It's big, it's rich, and it's good. Oh.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to need some Imodium. Yeah, you gonna,
oh, my
you
God.
Need some, you want to have me stocked up on toilet paper and Imodium.
Well, you know,
you know
for these holidays, we mix and mingle stuff in our stomach. Our stomach is a conglomerate of just stuff we, you know, that we just eat. It just be down there, and the next day we just be miserable.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't care what nobody say. The holidays ain't a time to be worried about no diet, no how. That's why you diet. That's why you diet and watch what you eat all year. So on the holidays, you can just act a fool.
Especially when
good
cooks in the house.
Yeah, one day ain't gonna hurt you.
2 days.
Now, you've been
you know,
eating like that all
plan
year.
From Thanksgiving and New Year. You
don't
have
about, what, 60 days to catch it. If you've been eating like that all year, then it's time to switch to salad for something for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
All right.
So this is what I want to know
from everybody this evening.
Uh-huh.
Has anybody been following the Jussie, what's his name, Jussie Smollett?
Smollett? Got that little line boy in Chicago.
Yeah.
No, he going to jail. I think he's gonna end up. They gonna. I don't think they're gonna send him to jail. They're gonna smack him on the hand though. They gonna give him a fine.
Oh, they gonna teach him something.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna send him to jail. But he's sitting around lying.
Do you think he lied? Do you think he honestly told a lie?
Yeah. He had that, look, they said that the reason why he did it, you understand, what happened was he was getting hate mail, you know, gay bashing type hate mail.
On the set.
And the producers of the show and the network weren't taking it serious. So what happened is the guys that he had to perpetrate the assault on him were guys that he knew. He had paid them to do it.
So they got
those guys had been on episodes. Those guys that they had been on episodes before of the show, and he knew them personally, and he hired them to perpetrate it, so to make it look like you know that he really got assaulted, and that the network and the people on the show would take him seriously.
He didn't realize
that when the people started to put the screws on them two brothers, that them two brothers going to squeal like some newborn pigs. And that's what they did. They went ahead and told it, hey, man, look at this man that hired us to do this. He paid us this much money. And not only that, they seen the money where it had been taken out of his account and transferred to theirs.
Oh,
Lord. Where it disappeared out of his account and popped up in their account. You know, they went and deposited the exact same amount of money. And, you know, hey, look here, man. We ain't going to jail for this clown. This man paid
Baby,
us. We ain't doing nothing
so much more with that money.
But see, that's the thing about it. Another thing, that rich privilege, I can't say white folk privilege, but just rich. Having plenty of money, you lose your damn mind. You think you above everything. So
that's why I said they're going to make it a lot of them.
And if he wanted to teach a lesson, start an organization.
Right.
Start there.
He could have started the Jesse Smollett Don't Bash Gay Folks Association or something. I don't know.
I just think, I was looking at those two brothers. They said that one of them he had been in a relationship with. So therefore, I know he feel betrayed.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah, he's
betrayed. But again, like JD said, when they start putting the screws to them, they start squealing like pigs because it's either them or him.
Exactly. And I don't care what nobody says, self-preservation is the number one rule of nature. I'm going to say
it is.
I ain't going to let me go down behind you.
Well, I think, you know what, in the end, you know, people love controversy. He's going to show back up in a major role. Just watch and see what I tell you.
It's so much
he can do with that conviction.
And not only that, he's a very, let's just be honest, the man is talented is all I know.
Yeah.
He's got albums out. He's a musician. He does so much. Let's just say that he's a bright light in the gay community,
and
too.
And he is loved.
Right, he's a bright light in the gay community. They love him in the gay community. And let's just be honest. The way that American society is set up right now, them gays taking care of everything. They taking care of each other.
Yeah.
They take care of each other. Let's be honest,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you better not mess with one of them because they'll kill you or convict you quicker than you killing a black person behind a gay person.
I'm telling you. Look at that.
Well,
they made you. I promise you. You'll get a federal gay bashing before you get a hate crime against blacks.
Yeah, the police killing us every day and they going free.
Yeah.
But let them kill a gay person.
I bet you one of them police been not killing no homosexuals.
Hmm.
They going to prison.
They're going to go down for a hate crime.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they can prove that it's becoming a sexual orientation. Oh, yeah, they're going to prison for real.
You'll do more time in jail for killing an animal than you will a black person.
Yep. You right. You absolutely right.
So I'm so glad that God favors me. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
That he favors me.
Right.
Because I don't know what it is about us, our skin color, that we are just so disregarded by other human, by other races of people. They love
right,
us and
right.
hate us all in the same breath.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, that's the world we live in today.
I guarantee you, if you walk up to some white folks and ask them, would you rather be white and broke or black and rich, they going to see where that white thing take them. I bet you that. They ain't gonna opt out for black and rich. They're like, nah,
mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see where this white thing take me to, man. You know, they much rather be white and broke than to be black and have the money. Yeah, buddy.
Well, until they stop killing us in the streets, and it's just
right.
a wonder that 50 years later we're still fighting the same battle, and it seems like we've made no more headway than we did 50 years ago.
They let
us in their restaurants and in their motels and places where we used to not go, or designated places that said whites only, blacks only. But you know what? That mindset is still there. Think of all the Karens and the Becky still calling, putting in these, you know, ridiculous phone calls to the police reporting black people for what? Selling water on the corner or something, you know, or running
right.
in the park, exercising in the park. That's ridiculous.
Well, let me tell you something. We as black folks ought to be getting supplemental checks from the government anyway, because, look, there ain't a black person alive that's over 25 that ain't suffering from some type of PTSD. You know, we'd have some kind of post-traumatic stress in our life. That causes us to have anxieties and you know, distrust and all types of stuff when it comes to the American society, you know, as far as the law enforcement authorities and things of that nature. We've all had some type of brush with a you know, situation where it should cause some type of PTSD. Look, let me tell you something. In America, even if you filthy rich, black person, you still can get it. They don't care. You just a nigga with money. They don't care nothing about you having a whole lot of money.
Well, then you can add jealousy to it then, because you black and got more money than, you know, the average white person. Then we got a problem.
Oh, yeah. It's really a big problem then. Yeah, you right. Right about that. Look, it's been throughout history. It's just like back in the day when Muhammad Ali tried to buy a house in River Oaks. Mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali was one of the richest black men in the world, and they wouldn't let him buy a house in River Oaks right here in Houston. They came up with all kind of rules why he couldn't get a house over there because of deed restrictions and you had to be, like a nepotism type thing. Your house had to be passed down to you and all that, you know. They just came up with all kind of rules to keep Muhammad Ali out of buying a house. And I read that story. I was like, what? Yeah, they wouldn't let him buy a house in River Oaks right here in Houston.
I don't know, because I know over there in the
Heights. Right.
They had the restrictions.
Oh, let me tell you something. There have always been, I'm sure, I've only heard about the ones here in Houston, but I'm sure all over this country, there are neighborhoods where they target keeping black folks out of.
Yeah, Bensonhurst.
What's the name of that movie you watched? What was it called? Them. Remember that?
Yeah.
That movie, have you ever watched that movie called Them, that series?
No.
With Jordan Peele did it. It's a series that's on, I don't know if it's on Netflix or one of the it's like a series, it's like a seven or eight part series, but it's about Compton, California, when Compton was an all white neighborhood before blacks started moving in there. And it talks about the first black family to move in on the street in Compton, California, and how they were treated by the white people in the neighborhood. You know, because Compton used to be all white, and that's the truth. But now you can't find a white person in Compton.
No.
You can't find a white person in Compton now. That wants
but
to
you
live
know,
in that
that's
neighborhood.
The story of America all over, because Bensonhurst, one of the newscasters on CBS Morning News, Tony DeCarpo, he tells about where his grandparents bought a home in Bensonhurst in New Jersey. Yeah. And they showed even back then where they sent a black couple in with money wanting to buy a house, and they, you know, came up with all kinds of reasoning for them not to. And then it showed these same people, their daughter and grandchildren now, and where they live. And, you know, they said that a black person moving in would hurt the property value.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's nationwide. You know, we hear where the Ku Klux Klan, where black families moved into neighborhoods, and the Ku Klux Klan burned crosses on their front lawn.
Oh my God! Let me tell you something, honest. I don't know if I don't know if my wife ever heard this story, but when I played high school football, this was in 1986, right? We went to the Astrodome, the high school playoffs in Astrodome, and we played Pasadena Dolby High School, right up the street from here in Pasadena. We played them in the Astrodome in the playoffs. Do you know that the entire Ku Klux Klan was in the stands with a whole uniform on? the grand wizard with the red dress, the red garments, all that was in the stands, because you know Pasadena is the Ku Klux Klan headquarters here in Texas, in the entire state of Texas. We were literally out there playing football, and you look up in the stands, and there's an entire section of white robes with the red wizard sitting right in the middle of all of them. In the Houston Astrodome in 1986, when we were playing a high school football game. I never forget that. But let me tell you something. We went out there and beat them folks to death. We took out all our English and anger on them kids from Pasadena. We beat them to death that night. Yeah. I think on the whole team, they had two black kids on the entire Pasadena Adobe team back then.
Now, Pasadena is black. Amen.
Right. That's what I said back then in 1986. And I think, look, like I tell you, we beat them folks to death that night. And the very next week, we had to play the Memorial Mustangs, another almost completely white school. And we beat them to death, too.
Well, you know what that brings up? That brings up the redistricting. The redistricting.
Right.
How they trying to redistrict to keep certain people in office and basically ignore the black and Hispanic vote. And
right.
This is the way they brainwash people. They're telling people that they took a poll of Greg Abbott and Benito. And they're saying that he is behind Abbott because he is too conservative. Really? First Abbott brings this craziness about this gun, this no concealed gun carry. Okay, so I imagine, you know, half the white folks love that. Then you come up with this abortion law that basically forces women, regardless of their state of mind, to hold on to babies that, hey, I'm not a champion of abortion, but then to me, that's between that woman and God.
Exactly.
Not my business.
I'm all for a woman's right to choose. That's just my personal opinion.
It's her body. It's between her and
body,
God.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you on that. On that woman's right.
And then you want to tell people, then, you know, you put out these surveys. See, these surveys ain't about nothing. These surveys is to subliminally tell people Abbott is going to win. But every time I see a survey, I want to ask them, who are you surveying? A bunch of white folks, or do you have 100 people of mixed races? And you're asking them how the laws and things of Texas, truly Abbott can't be in the head if he's, you know, doing everything he could do to basically traumatize these people at the border. Do you think Hispanics think Benito is too conservative? White folks are not. They are not the majority in Texas.
Not at all.
And I just think it's sad that he's so blatant with his laws and what he's trying to do and think that he can still win. But we'll see.
Abbott is just like Donald Trump said. He can basically shoot somebody in the middle of the street and still win. That's the way he feels.
I don't know.
Well, we're gonna see this. We're gonna see this year. That's for sure.
Yep. This time next year, we gonna know.
Yeah, we'll know.
I think, you know, it's time for a change. It's really time for a change.
Oh, it's time to get hot wheels up out of them.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's time to get hot wheels smooth rolling right up out the back door. And dump them in the grass if y'all want to. I don't care.
Don't say that.
Hey, man, get them up out of there. Get that man up out of there. That man ain't caused nothing but turmoil since he's been in there.
And, you know, I just think they need to replace all the Republican governors because they were the ones that cut people's benefits off early and saying that people didn't want going back to work because the government was paying them to stay at home. No, it wasn't. COVID is still real. People had children taking care of sick relatives. COVID did some people pretty bad. Yeah. It messed some people up.
They want you to hurry up and get back to work. Don't worry about whether you die or not. Just get back to work.
Well,
no,
him and his cronies were saying that, and they weren't offering people. They wanted people to come back for pre-pandemic wages. Guess what people say? Deuces.
Huh.
Deuces. Bye. We ain't working for that. No. No. So since you cut the unemployment off, what makes you think I want to go back to work for the struggle and work 2 and 3 jobs like I was doing? But so guess what? Now the government got to pay for a lot of people to be retrained. Because unemployment, you had that option.
Exactly.
So a lot of people cashed in on those grants to go back to school to have training done. So now you still ain't got people. You know, these hotels and motels and restaurants recording all this high profit, and you don't want to pay anyone. I wouldn't go back to work for them either. No, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's definitely been a shift in the and like you said, the supply of workers for certain industries. Because people just were not willing to go back to those jobs.
Hospitality industry.
Yeah, people were not willing to go back to them jobs. Like you said, for the pay that they were getting.
And then plus a lot of people started businesses.
Right, exactly.
Million people resigned. The Great Resignation of 2021, September 2021, 4.4 million people left their jobs.
Yeah.
That put a dent in the industry. Yeah, we can't even get the truckers to come back to work. Now, I'm not even worried about dispatching anymore. I'm teaching.
Look, owners, I was watching a show on TV. They were doing a documentary about the shortage of truckers in the United States and the logistic problems that they were having. They have literally started allowing 16-year-olds to drive 18-wheelers. They have teenage truck drivers now.
They didn't help the truck drivers.
And
like
prior to that, you had to be 21 years old to be certified to be on the road.
Yeah.
Now
they have
teenagers driving these trucks. Yeah, they have these kids out here, 18, 19 years old, driving these trucks all over the country because they have a shortage.
Not anymore, and the women are taking the industry by storm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're
taking
it by storm.
They're probably the biggest growing population is women truck drivers right now.
Yeah.
They're getting out there getting behind that big wheel and handling their business.
Yeah, they got these kids to take care of, got to put food on the table. So, lot of them, they were working 9 to 5. So, like, hey, this is a chance to see the United States, Canada, and Mexico in some cases. And, basically be flexible. Hey, I want to roll all week. I want to be home on the weekend. Especially those who have older kids, they ain't got to get no babysitter for them. They can trust them at home, to do whatever. Yeah, things are changing. The world is changing. And these stiff-necked people, I'm not saying all the changes are good, but the world is changing. It's not business as we used to know it.
Well, like you said, COVID, COVID shook up a lot of, you know, the dynamics of the way things used to be. It shook it up. So you got a lot of, what they say, new normals. You know, there's a lot of new normals out there that we probably thought would never happen, but it has happened, and it's going to continue to change. You know, it's still evolving right now to what it's going to be.
Well, we can't seem to get rid of COVID, because even if you vaccinated, this one is here now, baby. They say most of the people who done got sick are vaccinated.
Yeah, hey, look here. That's why
you
got to stay prayed
up. Until they acknowledge God, and that God is in control, all this stuff don't stay crazy. It's
that's why I say you just got to stay prayed up.
All right, y'all.
So, yeah,
we that know.
Go ahead,
wrap it up.
All right. Well, honest, we have solved as many world problems as you and I can solve in an hour. So we got like a few minutes left. So, hey, we did our part, Mama. That's all we can say. You know, we ain't do as much as some, but we did more than some. Some others. We did way more than some. So we always try to solve the world problems in 1 hour right here on 219 to talk. And I appreciate all your comments and all your feedback. And it's always a glory to banter back and forth with On It On Us. So this is JD, huh? This is JD the Barber signing off for 219 to talk on a big old Monday night. I'm about to try to get back to this Monday night football game. I hope it shape up to be a good one. So we'll see y'all next week.
Go ahead, sign out for us, Onis. All right, H-Town, we're sending out much love to you. Stay sweet. Stay loving. Have grace and mercy for one another. We'll see you right back here on next Monday, when we solve the rest of the world's problems.
Amen.
Peace out.
All right, y'all. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in.
And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen. Follow us on Facebook. Subscribe to the My Gospel Soul Network on YouTube. Make sure you go to My Gospel Soul Magazine and subscribe. And you can follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and once again, Facebook.
I think we're even on MySpace, ain't we?
Bye, Jay.
219 to talk.